my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May God give us an understanding of his word today.
Please be seated.
Hey, goods this morning, Dean, hey?
It's good.
Also, I want to just have a quick prayer. So around Sydney, youth councils, it's a Salvation Army thing, where all these young people, teenagers from around the Sydney area come, and in the Salvation Army, probably 300-400 young people, and we've got about 30-33 people from Menai that are here. So it's a little bit quieter here today with Tristan and the team. I've got a whole heap of people, but the best decision a young person will ever make, or will ever make, is to follow Jesus. And I just want to pray for them, as they'll probably be receiving the word right now. God, we thank you for who you are. We know that you are here. And I pray today that any young life would choose you today. They would recommit their life to you. They would give you a second chance, a third chance. And I pray that your grace and your peace would be theirs, and they would embrace you. And I pray that they would always choose to put their trust in you. We pray that they would have friends. We pray that they just have a great time glorifying you today. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So when I looked a bit puzzled about, am I talking about the fruits of the Spirit? I am touching on the fruits of the Spirit, but I felt really challenged. There's a particular verse, and it was the first verse in verse 13, and it says this. It says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." You, my brothers, were called to be free. You were called to be free. Listen to that. You were called to be free. But how many of us live in bondage or in chains? You with me? We were called. It's part of our DNA. When God created the heavens, when he created the earth, when he created you, he had called you, had predestined you to live freely. That's what he wanted of you, to live free. I want you to think about, what is it like to be free? Just yell them out. What is it like to be free? Having your independence. Yeah, what else? What's it like to be free? You have a choice, freedom of choice. What else? Sorry? Empowering, yes. What else? relaxing, freedom, the pressure's off a little bit. What else? Unrestricted, what else? Happy, what else? To be who God created you to be, what else? Freedom, yeah. What else? Liberated. What else? Peace. All these things and much more God has called you to have. He's called you to have peace. He has called you to be all you are in Christ. He's called you to be free from bondage and enslaved and to choose what you want, to feel relaxed, to be grateful, to be joyful. There is a freedom you can experience that no circumstance can be taken from you. And you know what? The world is longing for it. The world is longing for a freedom that cannot be taken from them. And as Christians, we can have and we can live through our life with Jesus. Does anyone know what this says? Tempest Eye, can you read that bit? It's in Indonesian, guys, so don't worry about it if you couldn't read it. It says correctional institution. It's my good friend Andrew Chan's prison T-shirt. And on death row and visiting one time, he gave me one of his shirts. He said, "Oh, just so you can remember me by." I said, "Thanks, Andrew, that's nice." And the crazy thing is this. I witnessed a young man behind bars on death row who was later executed, who experienced more freedom than people on the outside. I saw a guy who trusted God more than anything, who had a peace in his spirit that not even the fear of being shot on a post, because he knew who he was. I saw a man who experienced freedom more than any of us. You know, today's chains are debt. Today's chains are addiction. Today's chains are insecurity. Today's chains are so many things. And yet when we have the fruits of the Spirit, we will live in life in its truest form, in the freedom in which He has called us to live. I put it in a simple point. The only true freedom you will ever experience in this life is when your spirit is free and filled with the love of Jesus. Hear that again. The only true freedom, this true freedom you will ever experience in life is when your spirit is free and filled with the love of Jesus. For those that have been in the faith for a while, you know those moments in your life where you have just felt really close to God? It could have been you made a decision, you've asked for forgiveness and you felt God close. It could have been that someone has spoken a word over you and encouraged you. It could have been that you're listening to a message or a song and the Holy Spirit speaks into your spirit and you think, "Oh, thank you, Lord." You know those moments, those rich moments? Have you experienced those before? Those rich moments, and you think it doesn't matter what has happened. You've got all these pressures and all these. You could have sickness or you could have going through stress at work. But when God speaks, it's like the world goes silent. And He speaks right to your heart. And right then and there, you experience a little bit of freedom. The form that God had created you to experience. You were called to be free. And I don't give you a spoiler alert, but this is simply this. If you want to live free, you have to live a life in tune with the Holy Spirit. And then from being in tune with the Holy Spirit, you will then receive the fruits of the Spirit. You will start to act out the fruits of the Spirit. You know, it's interesting. In the Bible verse, one of the things that I struggled as a young man growing up was this. Sometimes it's a blessing being born in the church, and I praise God for that. But one of the struggles that I faced is I had seen Christians at their best and the church at their best, but I'd also seen Christians and the church at their worst. My parents have been in the church since I can remember. I've seen when people would love each other and there would be the fruits of the Spirit, and it was beautiful, and there was acceptance and unforgiveness and no judgment, and young people were encouraged and older people were encouraged. It was just a beautiful moment. You think, man, this is a little piece of heaven on earth. But I've seen it when it hasn't gone so well, and when in people like they're Christians, and I'm thinking, man, that's not how Jesus would act. I've seen it at its worst. And as a young Christian growing up, I think, how come my friend over here have the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, yet they're not perfect, so much more than my person over here who knows Jesus, has accepted Jesus, and this is the current form. I believe that they are going to heaven because they're trying their best to be like Him, but for some reason the fruits of the Spirit are not evident in their life. How does that work? How does that work? Has anyone ever thought about that? My friend over here, he doesn't even know Jesus. This person knows Jesus and not acting like Him. This person knows Jesus, doesn't know Jesus, and he's acting like Him. And then one of the things, I was speaking to someone about this, and they said, you know what, Mark, but God is love. Do you agree with that? You agree? God is love. And good things come from God. The fruits of the Spirit were evident in my non-Christian friend who didn't know Jesus yet. But God is already at work in him. Get that? God is already at work in him. The fruits of the Spirit are already in him. God is already at work in him. And over here, God is already at work in this Christian person. But you know what? Get this. They're still holding on to things of the flesh. They're still holding on to the things of the flesh. Same like my other friend. But the reason we don't see a distinct difference is because they're still holding on to things of the flesh. Pride. You know, Christians, pride, it'll get us every time. Unforgiveness. You know, Christians who don't forgive, come on, guys. Out of anyone on the face of the planet, Christians should understand the true richness and blessing. We don't deserve to go to heaven, but God richly gave His Son for you and I so that we can have eternity with Him. If Christians cannot express and show forgiveness to others, come on. And sometimes when a little bit of resentment rests in my spirit, a little bit of maybe pride, resentment, you know what? I sometimes reminded, hang on a second. I am not allowing the fruits of Spirit to run freely in my life. You know, and I'm only choosing one fruit this morning. Felt challenged this one. The fruits of the Spirit, and I'll read them again, are these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Against such thing there is no law. Don't you love that? Against such things there is no law. When we are free in the Holy Spirit, when the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our life and we're in tune with God, against no law. There's no bondage. There's no chains. We are free when we live in tune with the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our life. We will experience the most freedom you'll ever experience when you're in tune with God and the fruits of the Spirit are evident in your life. It says, against such things there is no law. We are not under law, but under grace. And I choose gentleness today. In the fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness is one of the fruits that I believe that Christians can often lack. Gentleness. It's not weakness, it's gentleness. And I was reading it in the Hebrew and the Greek and the William Barclay translation. And he says, gentleness, there's a three things about gentleness. It says, first of all, gentleness is being submissive to God. Okay, gentleness. Christians need to be submissive to God. God, if you want this, I'll say yes. Gentleness is being submissive to God. If God wants something, He has an obedient follower in you who will say yes, God. That is having gentleness, being obedient to God. The other thing, the second part of gentleness is being teachable and being not too proud to learn. Being teachable and not too proud to learn. So Christians, we still have to be willing to learn. Gary, I don't want to embarrass you, but catch up with Gary. We talk on the phone every now and then, and he ministers with guys, but he learns about the Muslim faith and different faiths in order that he can minister with people coming out of parole, whatever their faith mechanism is. He actually says, okay, I want to learn a little bit about it, so then he can... I just think that's fantastic. He wants to learn about them to bridge that gap. And I think sometimes we go, I don't need to learn about that, or I don't need to worry about that. And it's like, hang on a second. We always should be willing to learn. And when Christians become too sort of probably prideful, arrogant, I don't know, or think that we have all the answers, I think that's very dangerous. And you know, people debate. Some people debate to learn. Some people debate to try and get you to believe what they believe. And I think Jesus would prefer us to debate to learn and let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. Hey, would you agree? We actually got to trust him. You know, we can talk to people and journey with people, but you know what? God does the convicting. By us bashing someone with the word of God does not help. Now, I'm going to mention something here, and I don't want you to go too through, but I was thinking about thinking about Israel Folau. Okay. Interesting, and I don't want to get into great depth about that. He quoted scripture, God-breathed word. Okay. And I admire him as an athlete and someone who would stand up for being a Christian. But one thing about Christianity is this. I'm not saying that hell does exist, by the way. Hell does exist. Heaven does exist. But you will love people into the kingdom far more than scaring people into the kingdom of God. Are you with me? You will love people into the kingdom of God far more than scaring them into the kingdom of God. Or using fear. And I think sometimes, and this is the third point about gentleness, is being considerate. Being considerate. Being submissive to God, being teachable, being not too proud to learn, and being considerate. And I think Christians, if we got this particular fruit and allowed the Holy Spirit to allow us to be gentle, not walkovers, submissive to God, willing to learn from other people, not always having words ready to speak, but actually listen to people. And being gentle with how we approach things. And just trusting God, you know what? We have a difference of opinion and I'm going to be okay with that. And you know, you go back and you start praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and let him do the business on them and the change of the heart. It's gentleness. You know, Aristotle defined gentleness as this, the means between excessive anger and excessive angerlessness. Read it again. The means between excessive anger and excessive angerlessness. Basically, it's this. The quality of the man or woman who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. It's interesting, isn't it? The quality of the man and woman who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. And in summary, I'll conclude and say these couple of points. If you want to be truly free, and I mean truly free in your spirit and every facet of your life. If you want to be truly free, give your life over and over and over again to the freedom giver. The freedom giver. If you want to be truly free, give your life to the freedom giver. Be submissive to God. Be teachable. Not too proud to learn and being considerate. If you want your life to be produce fruit, we need to spend time with the fruit maker. If you want to have the fruits of the Spirit in your life, you need to spend time with the fruit maker. And right now, we're just going to have time to spend with the fruit maker, with the freedom giver. And it's the Holy Spirit, and he's already here, and he's already active in your life. And we just, for the next 5 minutes, we're just going to sit still. I know it's going to be awkward for people. And just close your eyes and just say, God, wherever you're wrestling with God, think about these things. Are you being submissive to him about the gentleness? Are you teachable? No, being considerate. But as we're just going to have this time, two things I really want to encourage. Two things. to remind you, God has a freedom, a peace, a joy, a love for you to experience. And I tell you this, it can never be taken from you. And it's only through allowing the Holy Spirit to invade your everyday life. And so you could be simply in there closing your eyes and go, God, I want more of you. It's a hunger for more of the Spirit. It's a hunger that God is in you, yes, but you know what? God, I want more of you. I want more of your understanding. I want more of your peace. I want more of your joy. I want more of the fruits. And the other part is this. Is there an element in your life that you need to hand over to God and let Him do His work? Is there a little bit of pride? Is there a little bit of unforgiveness? Is there a little bit of judgment? Is there a little bit of hypocrisy? Is there just those nagging things that hold on to you? And then probably they don't see you. If you're looking in a mirror, those things in your life, oh, I don't like that aspect about my life. I wish I could do that better. Today's the day to hand it to Him. Today's the day. I'm sorry, God, for getting angry too often. I'm going to hand my anger to You, God. I'm going to hand my judgmental spirit to You today. I'm going to hand my disbelief. I just struggle with believing. I'm going to hand my disbelief to You today. I'm going to hand my worry to You today. And yes, worry is a sin. It's a lack of trust in God. So right now, I want everyone just to close their eyes, and we're just going to, God is here. I'm going to pray. We're going to just have 5 minutes, and you may want to come down and kneel at the mercy seat. But I can tell you this, God, do not leave here in chains. Do not leave this place still worrying, concerned, and not handing it over to the King. Don't leave here not allowing full access of the Holy Spirit, the life giver, the freedom giver, the fruit giver. Don't leave one little ounce of you holding on to something walking through the doors. You actually just give it all to Him. All your worries, all your concerns. And you'll experience freedom and fruit and joy. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have just some time. God, we thank You that You are here. We thank You that You have called us to be free. You have called us to be fruitful. And God, I ask that You would do a new thing in us and through us. I pray that You would help us to be gentle and have a submissive spirit, a teachable spirit, and be considerate of others. But right now, for everyone individually, I pray right now that You would speak to them, remind them they are loved, and that You have more for them. God, we thank You in advance for what You have done, wanting to do, and will do. Amen.